Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade!
Before we dive into a more serious series of topics, if you've been hiding under a rock or just don't know what's going on, Fuckboy 45 has been in office for the last 4 years, and thank Odin and Zeus or whoever else is up there that he'll be gone in a little over a month.
I'm so excited.
I remember going to work, and on my way to work, just every black person, me and them just looking at each other, just like in disappointment and fear about, like, you know, what was going to happen. And a lot of people would tell me that, a lot of cis white men would tell me that I have nothing to worry about. You live in Massachusetts. Uh-huh. There's no racism up there. To which I laughed and I said, no. This may not be Mississippi where I can get hung, you know, just for living. But the racism up here in the North, it very much exists. It very much exists. Fast forward through the last 4 years, and we've seen so much going on. It's been terrible. It's been terrifying. We've been a world embarrassment, and just, it's, and sometimes, like, I have foreign friends, and I go, hey, I'd like to, just let you know that we're all, not all like this, like, you know what I mean, like, a lot of us hate this dude. So, when the election started, and the ballots were being counted, I was, me and my wife, and she was like, oh, you want to go over, Javi and Shanice's house? And I was like, I kind of just want to drink and hide my head in the sand. And she goes, well, you're going to drink. It's like, and you're already mad. She goes, you're going to get cranky, and you're going to go to bed angry. Why don't you go out, drink, be around happy people, and then go with it? So she talked me into it, and I was like, fine. And thankfully, she was right. She was 100% right. Javi, who's my co-host, he's a political science major. So he's really breaking down all the things that was going on, and was like kind of like calming my fears and throughout the whole, is I swear to you, the election for the last month was like an episode of was like a rom-com. Will he or won't he be president? And it was beyond frustrating. But a friend of mine was like, dude, it's okay. Just you know, explain to me what's going on, and it helped. It helped a lot. And I remember drinking, and I was close to drunk, and I ran. And I went to Twitter. And I swear to you, the first 5 out of 20 tweets were all you drunk. And I was like, oh, thank God, it's not just me. So, as you've mentioned, and correct, you can obviously correct me if I'm wrong, but you are gay.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's one thing for me to be worried about everything that was going on when Fuckboy 45 went into office, but it's something completely different for you. I had a woman who worked at my I shouldn't say woman. I had someone who worked at my job who was scared about their marriage as well. They were like, we're going to get married now because we don't know what it's going to be like in January. That's the kind of fear that's the kind of fear that they had. And I'm like, holy fuck, I never even like considered that. Like, you know what I mean? Because again, this is, It's a world I will fight for, but it's not a world that I know. So what was it like for you and yours when this happened?
See, my wife and I, we've been together since 2012, and I actually ended up proposing early in 2013, I think. Yes, 2013. And before that time, 'cause I live in Indiana, and gay marriage wasn't even legal in Indiana. It was kind of a somewhere, someday, maybe we'll see what happens kind of a thing. And that's when it was still going state by state at that time. And we knew that Indiana was probably going to be like one of the last states, if not the last state. Because, you know, Mike Pence is from Indiana. And he was our governor. And yeah, that went about as well as you can expect. But,
fuck him, by the way.
And so we really... Say what?
I was like, oh, fuck him too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, the hilarious thing is that he was going to lose his re-election in 2016 because he was so unpopular here. And do you know how genuinely shitty you have to be for Republicans in Indiana to turn their back on an evangelical Christian? Like, you were genuinely shitty because he tried to push through that Religious Freedom Restoration Act that would have allowed businesses to turn away gay customers. And everybody was pissed. And so, you know, people from all over the state kind of, you know, took up root outside the governor's mansion and were kind of like, dude, go fuck yourself. And it was when businesses started threatening to pull out of Indianapolis that he's like, oh, I fucked up. So we actually got the son of a bitch to put an LGBTQ protection clause in that bill. So so he was going to lose because of all of that. And then the orange boy decided to tap him for vice president. And his lieutenant governor just barely won that election. So Indiana was weirdly close to a Democratic governor there for a hot sec, and I don't think we've had one of those since the 90s. But anyway, complete sidebar there for you. I don't know if you've noticed, I like to ramble.
Look, I always, part of me wishes that someone else didn't take this, but my show is the most unprofessional professional podcast ever. Like, you know what I mean? I care about my guests. I care about, like, really, this is just an excuse for me to talk to people that I really love conversing with. If it gets something out of it, cool. But honestly, I just like talking to people. This is dope for me. Oh, and also, I have a buddy who lives in Muncie, Indiana, who is a black woman who I think she may identify as bi or queer. I'm not sure which one, so I don't want to say either or. And she just moved to Muncie, I want to say 5 years ago. And the horror stories that she's told me about living up there, I was like, ugh. And when I found out you lived in Indiana, I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Muncie's not great. Because see, I live in the northern end of Indiana. So I live in northeast Indiana. We're really close to the Michigan-Ohio border. And I live in an honest-to-God city. Well, what counts as a Midwestern city? We have about 250,000 people. So we're the second largest city in the state. So we do kind of have that, you know, I'm using very heavy air quotes here, metropolitan mentality. So it's not as terrible as, say, something like Southern Indiana, you know, just in terms of being gay. Because we're one of the only cities in Northern Indiana that has an Honest to God Pride Festival. People from surrounding counties will actually come to my city for Pride. And so that, you know, it's a very big event. And it's a lot of fun just to kind of see everybody come in. And, you know, we've got some people who live in Southern Michigan that'll come in. So it's a big event. And so that's been nice, you know, being from this region and being gay. But really any further south than from where I live, and unless you live in Indianapolis, it's really shaky. And, you know, Muncie's a college town, and it's still just not great.
Yeah, that's... It's still deplorable, and it sucks that, like, you know, that you still have to go through that, because, you know, my wife said something years ago, and it still holds true to this day. She goes, if everybody just minded their business, we wouldn't have any problems.
Right.
But anyway, so I'm sorry, but you were saying, well, beforehand.
Oh, no, you're fine. So, you know, I proposed to my wife in 2013, and like I said, it was a somewhere, someday kind of a thing. And then in 2015, gay marriage was legalized, and we're like, oh shit, okay. We weren't quite, you know, ready to kind of settle down and get married just yet. So we're like, you know what, we're just going to let this ride a little bit. It's there if we want it, and we're just going to, you know, we're going to focus on ourselves and getting us to a point where we feel like financially we can get married.
Yeah.
And, when Trump won in 2016, because we went out and bought a bottle of Jack Daniels while the returns were coming in, because it looked like pretty on that he was going to win.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting there, and we're just drinking, and we just looked at each other and went, my God, what are we going to do? So we're just kind of sitting there, and we're like, should we get married now? Should we wait? And I think we were just in such a state of shock that we kind of waited. We ended up waiting for a few years just because we didn't want to go through all of that just for it to be taken away. And it's just, you found yourself in kind of like that weird state of depression where kind of like, well, what's the fucking point, you know? We ultimately did get married in 2018, and it was a very small affair. We had, you know, a couple dozen guests, but it was nice and it was perfect for us. And, excuse me, we were really nervous even at the time because, you know, before it was kind of the, you know, I want to say in that 2016 conversation, we're like, okay, we need to start looking at what paperwork we're going to have to do. Yeah. Because even before gay marriage, before Massachusetts hit, because they were the first state in the country to have legalized gay marriage in 2004. And, you know...
And let me tell you, people were weird about that shit. I'm like, I'm a black guy from the hood, so we weren't always the most, and still aren't the most progressive people in the world, despite the fact that we should be, because, you know, if you're black in America, you should be able to understand that, like, you know, if someone wants the rights to be married, then you should. So I didn't completely understand it until I realized my little brother was gay, and I just realized, like, you know, my mentality has to change and evolve with, like, what's going on. And when it happened, my whole thought was, why do you care? Like, why do you care if someone gets married? Like, just, why doesn't another person deserve the same rights as someone else does?
No,
I'm good. That's all I had to say.
Oh.
Sorry.
No, and just the hilarious thing about gay marriage legalization is that the wedding industry is like, oh my god, we can make so much money.
Yes.
Because statistically, gay people do have slightly more disposable income because, you know, most gay couples, you know, queer couples, same-sex couples, if you will, can't have children naturally.
Yeah.
So, we have, you know... If you're a same-sex couple, you have to go through a whole rigmarole to have kids. So there's typically slightly more disposable income, and, you know, they'll throw that around if it means they can have a fancy wedding. Like, I have a couple of friends that are gay men, and they love their fancy weddings. But, so now we started talking about, you know, because even before Massachusetts, there was a lot of paperwork that has to be done. I mean, you know, you have your power of attorneys, you have, you know, there's medical POA, and then there's, I think, like a general POA. What are you going to do about life insurance? This, that, and the other thing. So, you know, you have to look at this whole span of paperwork to try and figure out, okay, what the hell am I going to do? You know, can you be my medical power of attorney? But at the same time, the hospital might not let you in because, you know, we're not married, you're not family. So it's just this whole mess of trying to figure out what the hell to do. And so my father has degenerative brain disease, and we finally got married in 2018 before it was effectively too late, and he was no longer able to be aware in the moment.
Sorry.
And, oh, no. He was in the military. So he was an explosive expert in the military, so there's a lot of repetitive brain damage there.
Yeah.
But he got to be there, and he was aware, and it was very nice. And that's what I mean. He's in the nursing home just because his mind is just that far gone.
Yeah.
But, so that's why we decided to do it before we financially felt like we were quote-unquote ready. But because, you know, I just wanted him to be there, and she was very understanding. And afterwards, you know, we're kind of like, oh my god, you know, we filed taxes jointly for the first time, and that was amazing, because we actually got a refund. So it was nice, because I needed, at the time, I needed health insurance, and we wanted to file taxes jointly, and that and my dad is literally the only reasons we got married. And I know there's a big push with millennials, and I think even older Generation Z, where they're kind of like, oh, you don't need marriage to prove that you love someone. And I said, you know, I absolutely 100% agree with that, but I wanted health care. Like, we wanted to be able to file taxes jointly. So it's literally, we wanted those protections that, you know, straight people inherently kind of just get to have.
Yes.
And... you know, we got married under the Trump administration, and it was just kind of like, I think we realized that at any moment in time, they could pull some fuckery. And we had faith in the Supreme Court because Justice Kennedy has sided with the liberal justices pretty much every time. In Lawrence v. Texas in 2003, in the various gay marriage cases. So he was a conservative justice who would cross the aisle on LGBTQ issues. So we're kind of like, okay, we'll be okay as long as Kennedy's on the court. Kennedy retires, and we're like, fuck. Okay, you know what? Something might happen. We could still be okay. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passes away.
That was
and we're like, that was hard. I cried for just days. Just days I cried, because I was also a political science major in college. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's such a cool figure.
Just so you know,
I feel like every woman in say what?
Just so you know, now that I know you're a political science major, so my buddy Javi was like, am I coming on for this one? I said, no, I usually like to have a first-time guest come on once. Before the both of us come on. Now that I know you're a political science major, the two of you, I have to get the two of you. I absolutely have to get the two of you on here to, like, just, and I won't speak, here's the thing, and you may have noticed this, like, when I don't know something, I listen, because, like, I should gain this knowledge. So, I'll let the two of you guys just talk for an hour, and I'll just sit here and drink the whole time, and watch the levels. But anyway, so you were saying.
And so, you know, Kennedy retired and Gorsuch took a seat on the court. And what I didn't realize at the time is that Gorsuch actually clerked in Kennedy's office when he was a young man. And that's why when the Supreme Court just passed the LGBTQ protections bill, that Gorsuch actually crossed and voted with the liberal justices. And everyone's like, what? Okay. I mean, we're not going to complain, but what? So, you know, we'll take that win. And, you know, obviously Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, and we've got Amy fucking Coney Barrett on the court now, and she's...
the worst.
All kinds of... Yeah, I grew up Catholic, and I know her type. So, yeah, that's fun. And she's gonna pull some fuckery at some point, and we're not out of the woods yet. Even, you know, with Biden taking office in January, even if we do pick up these seats in Georgia... we're still in trouble, because if the Supreme Court decides to overturn their ruling, it takes a 2/3 majority in Congress to overturn a Supreme Court ruling. And a 2/3 majority in all of Congress is very hard to get.
It's...
and so...
it's just deplorable, man. I and it's funny you say that, because... I'm not a big marriage guy. My wife originally didn't want to get married, but we ended up getting married for the same reason you did. Like, if something happens to me, the last thing I want is my mother with the with her finger on the button, not knowing what I would truly want. And me and my wife Maria have had these conversations about what we do and don't want. But again, our marriage isn't in danger. You know what I mean? And I've had there's a woman in my job who was worried about Roe v. Wade. And some of the guys at my job were, like, laughing at her and telling her it's not that serious. She's being too sensitive. And she was talking to me about it. And I go, why are they saying any of this shit? Because I'm pretty sure if it was their dicks, they'd be worried about it, too.
Probably.
So, yeah.
And I think it's just a level of detachment that people aren't necessarily aware of. Because... I have had straight friends in the past who are kind of like, well, why is the word marriage so something you're so hung up on? Why can't, you know, we just make civil, because I'm sure you remember civil unions.
Yes.
And how that was supposed to fix everything. Like, and, you know, civil unions still had marginally less protections than marriage did. And so the big conversation at the time was, well, why don't we just make civil unions totally equal to marriage, but we don't have to call it marriage, and everyone gets to be happy. And I'm like, okay, but why? Why do I need to have something different to make, you know...
you feel better.
Exactly. And it's just... at this point, you know, after, you know... gay marriage was legalized by the Supreme Court, and I think a lot of people realized that no, the country was not going to explode if gay people could get married.
Shock and awe and despair.
How the country was just going to explode, you know. Dogs are going to start eating cats or whatever. But, you know, I want to say, I think the last poll I saw was something like 60, you know, close to 60% of Americans approve of same-sex marriage, because, like, oh, okay, nothing has changed. My life has not ended. So I think overturning it in the courts, it would be a very unpopular decision. And I can both see why the court would, because even if Gorsuch crosses the aisle again, it would still be 5-4. And so I could still see why they would do it, but at the same time, I think they have to look at the optics of it as well, that it would not go over well. Because, I mean, you know, can you imagine the absolute, not the unrest it would cause if they took that away, you know, 5 years after the 5-6 years after the fact, that, you know, the wedding industry has made a shit bucket of money. And, you know, they're a massive industry in the United States. I think they bring in at least, like, $1 billion a year. Yeah. So, like, you know, you have all of these people making all of this money, so we have to change all of that because one, excuse me, that one baker in Colorado is a dick. Like, so I can see why they would, but at the same time, I can also see why they might consider just not. But, you know, in her testimony, obviously the bitch wouldn't answer any questions.
Gee, I wonder why.
You know, when they pressed her about it, she, you know, did that half-assed answer. And, of course, they let her get away with it. I'm not better.
It's, you know, it's funny.
But,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that, you know, with her being on the court now, Victoria and I, my wife Victoria and I, were having those conversations again of, okay, what do we need to do if they take this away from us? But are they going to pull what California did after California took away gay marriage in 2008? Because, you know, when California legalized gay marriage through the court system, they put a proposition to the people. It was Prop 8. I'm sure you remember Prop 8.
Yes.
Everybody was talking about Prop 8. And they ended up, you know, reversing that decision. California's like, ooh, sorry, we're not going to let you get married anymore. I think it was like an 8-9 month period where gay marriage was legal in California. What they did to try and ease the strain is that if you got married in that like 8-9 month period, you got to stay married. You just couldn't, they weren't going to issue any new licenses. So we're trying to figure out, are they going to do that? Are they just going to, you know, make it null and void? Because they would probably send it back to the states and do it on a state-by-state basis. And, like, okay, is Indiana going to let us stay married? Is Indiana going to nullify that? What happens to our goddamn taxes if they do that? So we're having these conversations again, and they're just, they're emotionally draining and exhausting and so goddamn stupid. Just like, ugh.
It's like the idea of human rights don't apply to everybody, but it's like, we're all human, like, I don't necessarily agree with marriage because it's, you know what I mean, like, to quote Black Panther, the marriage ceremony is a commitment that I've already made in my heart. But I'm also, but to your point, what happens if you get sick? There's the tax break, and there's all these other little nuances that go into it. Like, sure, we could have, if everything was the way it's supposed to be, there could just be a giant marriage ceremony. The government wouldn't be involved. You could, you know what I mean? If you were married and something happened to the one of the two of you, you just go to the hospital, everything would be fine. But unfortunately, we don't live in a world where that happens. So the idea of something like that is scary. When people don't pay attention to, and I'm guilty, me and my wife are guilty of not paying attention to the local primaries. Something that we both, something we have both decided to pay closer attention to. Because of issues like this, like, you know what I mean, like, I can't imagine what it would be like if someone was to say a Black man or Black woman can't get married to someone outside their race. My wife's mixed, like, you know what I mean, so would I can't imagine what how I would feel if there was, like, your wedding's overturned, like, you know what I mean, she has to marry someone who's, which is also another stupid thing. Like, just the idea of not telling someone they can't marry who they love is by far one of the dumbest things I think I've ever heard of. And I always love the, well, they're going to marry animals and they're going to marry. I'm like, no, an animal can't consent, you idiot.
I don't get it. I don't. And I really want to stay married because my wife's credit is so much better than mine.
You could at least wait until I finish drinking to say that.
No, that woman has amazing credit, and mine is so shitty. And I'm like, no, I need this.
And don't feel bad. Mine is like almost non-existent. Like, which is just as bad. And we're talking about my wife. She goes, "You don't even have credit." I go, "Yeah, I know." But like, but I'm working on it. So what was it like? Because you were drinking like I was the night of the election. So what was? So I have two questions. One, what was the night like? Just watching the numbers. And two, what was the hangover like the next day?
2016 or 2020?
Actually, you know what? Both.
2020. Oh.
Actually, you know what? Let's act like 2016 didn't happen. Let's just. So what happened? 2020.
That night I was just kind of, because you know the numbers came in and they were doing in-person ballots first, and it was skewing Trump really heavily the night of, and I'm kind of like rocking, you know, not physically, I might have physically been rocking back and forth, just, you know, getting flashbacks to 4 years prior. And now, granted, I wasn't the biggest fan of Hillary Clinton, but I did indeed smash that button for her. And same thing with Joe Biden. Like, Joe Biden is not my preferable candidate, if you will, but you best believe I fucking hit that Biden-Harris button. And I'm just kind of rocking back and forth going, oh my god, oh shit, oh my god, what the fuck is he gonna do? What if he wins re-election, what if all bets are off? You know, say goodbye to, you know, what counts as, you know, democracy on the national level. And it's just, you know, you're reliving all of that anger and that stress and that frustration. And, you know, Victoria was going through it too. And then we're like, wait a minute, they still have to count mail-in ballots. God damn it. And it's just, I remember Indiana was one of the first states to be called for Trump. And that is not surprising. Indiana is a deeply red state. The last time we flipped blue, ironically, was 2008. And then it's been the first time
wait,
we've gone wait, since
wait, 1960s. Wait. No, time out. I refuse to believe that one of the origin states of the Ku Klux Klan flipped blue in 2008. Oh my god.
We flipped blue. It had been the first time since the 1960s, but that was the first time that, you know, the millennial demographic, and even in Indiana, the larger millennial demographic, you know, leans blue.
Yeah.
Now, if you, you know, if you look at just white people, they do not, but the overall millennial demographic in Indiana, they lean very heavily blue. And, you know, that was the first time that the oldest of the millennials could go in and vote. And, you know, you remember the 2008 election. He was a, you know, Obama was a young guy. He was very charismatic.
He was a rock star.
You know, he charmed a lot of, say what?
He was a rock star.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I missed that by like 2 years. So I think I was about 16 during the 2008 election. And I was so angry. I just remember being like shaking with rage that I couldn't vote in that election. But, so yeah, if you look, you can look up the 2008 election map, and Indiana is blue, and it is the weirdest goddamn thing to look at. But, the previous time we'd done that was the 1960s. And I feel like Indiana's unofficial motto is, we're not the South, so why are we like this?
All right.
No, Indiana's a northern state, we fought for the Union, why are we like this? But, so no, Indiana was one of the first states to be called for Trump, and people were having a meltdown on my Twitter timeline, and I'm like, guys, you don't understand. Indiana was always red. You know, this is not surprising. So I was just trying to soothe fear about that. And, you know, you do bristle at the jokes a little bit, like, oh, we need to cut Indiana off of, you know, the rest of the country. I'm like, really? Because there's, like, queer and people of color that live here. Don't abandon us, please.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, remember just reliving that stress and that anxiety. And like I said, we kept reminding each other mail-in ballots, and we're like, okay, we're going to go to bed and we're going to see what it looks like in the morning. And we get up in the morning and we're like, oh, okay, nothing has been decided. You know, it's going to take a while to count these ballots.
Yeah.
So you know what? We're going to be patient. We're going to wait. It, you know, 4 hours later, we're drinking again, and we have, I'm pretty sure we had MSNBC straight. I did not know who Steve Kornacki was before this, and was the most important person in my world there for like 3 days.
I mean, I understand.
But, you know, he was the guy with the board running around counting everything on MSNBC.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was all we could think, all we could think about. You know, my wife works from home for the moment, and she would just be streaming MSNBC her phone while she's trying to work. Like, there was, at no point did we not have the news station on, just waiting for it. And, you know, we'd see each state be counted. You know, we were seeing the fuckery that was going down in Arizona. The Nevada memes were some of my favorite because Nevada was taking so long to count their ballots. Those Nevada memes were some of my favorite. I saw one tweet that somebody put up of, you know, we're 50th in education. We don't count very well.
And they're Vegas. How are you not counting in Vegas?
And, like, I have... You know, I have not ever thought about Pennsylvania that much, and I didn't think I ever wanted to think about Pennsylvania that much. But, you know, Pennsylvania was the most important state in the country there for a couple days.
Oh, my God.
And watching those numbers come in from Georgia was just truly something phenomenal. Because, you know, Stacey Abrams had her governorship fucking stolen. And to watch her get her goddamn revenge by flipping the state was just, it was magical.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was, you start from a place of just, oh my God, we're all gonna fucking die, to holy shit, did we just do this? Like.
Yeah. And again, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're like, there's no way this is true. It was funny. So the night it happened, I rolled over in 2016, me and my wife laying in bed. I roll over to check the time. And I wasn't checking Twitter. I wasn't checking anything. I just rolled over to look at the time. And it says, fuckboy 45 won the election. And I didn't know I groaned that loud. But she goes, what? And I got my CPAP mask on. And I and I'll just...
Donald Trump's the new president.
And she goes, what? And I just rolled over and went back to bed. it was just a horror. It was just, ugh. It was disgusting. And I have a love-hate relationship with the internet as much as I think everybody does. But my favorite quote about the election so far has been, they've been saying Biden is president for the last month. I think I'll wait to the inauguration to be certain.
Right. I saw a meme. It was a photo set of Taylor Swift pretending to be surprised at awards shows. And it's Joe Biden every time he wins Georgia.
That's pretty damn good.
And when they finally did call it, you know, I've got a fucked up sleep schedule, and I was asleep. And next thing I know, my wife is slapping my shoulder. She's slapping me awake. She's going, oh, my God, they just called it. They just called it. And I went, what the fuck just happened? And, you know, we have the TV on, and it just says that Biden won. And it's just, you didn't want to believe it. You're like, wait a minute. No, we've been living in the Twilight Zone. There's no way out of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, especially not in 2020.
Until... because, you know, we were watching the little, I guess, victory rally, I guess is what you call it, when halfway through Kamala Harris' speech, and I think I noticed that we're both starting to cry a little bit, and obviously Kamala Harris' win is historic, but I think, you know, it was a combination of seeing a woman in such a position of power, and I'm not a super huge fan of Kamala Harris, but a win for women still.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we're looking at this historic figure giving speech for the first time, and then also realizing that it's almost like, oh my God, like, it's just kind of like that lease of the last 4 years of just constant paranoia. And it's just like, holy shit, holy shit. And it was a lot.
Before we end and get to a really fun game that I couldn't wait to play, we can admit that Kamala won that election for Biden, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
she's... I don't love her record, obviously.
Oh, neither do I.
Especially as Attorney General in California. I'm not a huge fan of that. But that woman is... She is charismatic. She's a fantastic orator. Like, she knows how to work a crowd. Yes. And where Biden gave everybody pause about his age, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, let me be, you know, young and charismatic. And just, ha-ha.
Let me be everything Maya Rudolph made me.
Oh, God. I think that's part of the glory of this election, is that Maya Rudolph is going to be on SNL for at least the next 4 years, and I'm so goddamn excited.
Okay, so when Kamala won, my wife goes, oh, I can't wait to see Maya Rudolph on SNL.
And those skits of the debates were some of the funniest.
And I love some Maya Rudolph. Like, just her in general, then her being the judge in The Good Place was just some of my favorite stuff ever. All right. So I have this game that I play with people. It's called, You Can Get With This or You Can Get With That. So we have a Marvel versus DC. Who would you rather have protecting, who would you rather have protecting your city?
Okay.
All right. 10 questions, and here we, 10 disses or that. So first off, we have the common question. Would you rather have Wonder Woman or Carol Danvers protecting your city?
Wonder Woman.
Lex Luthor or
I have to say Wonder Woman.
You know what's funny? I kind of saw that coming, but I figured I'd ask anyway.
I have a 6-foot Wonder Woman cutout.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I have a 6-foot cardboard cutout of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
My next question was going to be, is it Gal Gadot or is it Wonder Woman? Because Gal Gadot
It's the BBS concept art, but it's Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot is a national treasure, so... Well, an international treasure, I should say. Lex Luthor or Norman Osborn?
Oof. Oof. I'm gonna... Oh my god, it's hard. Because, like, they're both scumbags, but at the same time, each has a pro and con. Yep. I'm going to say Lex Luthor, because he's not totally evil, crazy all the time. I feel like the level of destruction would be worse with Norman Osborn. We survived Trump, we can survive Lex Luthor.
God, that might be the title. Thor or Superman?
Superman.
Oh wow, that was quick and easy.
You got it. I love Superman, and I give it to the heat vision every single time. Laser eyes.
Okay, I gotta ask. So you think Superman could beat Thor?
I think it would be a hell of a fight, but because I mean, obviously Superman's weakened by magic. He's weakened, but he's not allergic to it.
Yes.
And a lot of people, Mjolnir would puncture his chest. It's like, no, he's not allergic to it. He's just weakened by it. But you can throw a dartboard at, like, the superhero power list, and Superman has it.
Yeah, like, that's true.
So I think ultimately Superman would come out on top sheerly because of power level. There was a Silver Age issue of Silver Age Superman issue where he actually, like, shot rainbows out of his fingers. It was great.
What? I need to see this. Dear God. What of all the odd... Of all the odd powers I have, I'm gonna admit my bias. I have a Thor. I have a tattoo of Thor holding his hammer on my leg. So I'm obviously a fanboy of Thor. So I'm gonna move on. Jessica Drew. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, hey, my family is Swedish, so I have my own Thor bias too.
Oh, so you get it. Jessica Drew or Nightwing.
Jessica Drew. I love me some Spider-Woman.
Yeah, she fucking rocks.
I feel like she'd also be more fun to sit down and have a drink with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, she... God, the story she could tell. Like, just, like, the S.H.I.E.L.D. days, the Hydra days, the I'm kind of sort of a Skrull days.
Oh, God, I hate Secret Invasion.
Okay, so... A buddy, so Javi.
Storyline gives me a headache.
So I liked every. Okay, so my buddy Javi has never read Secret Invasion, and I said to him, I made fun of him for a little while, but I was like, but dude, honestly, Odin, it's an 8-part miniseries of fighting. You didn't really miss anything. Like, the lead up to it was much better than the actual story.
Yeah.
Red Hood or Bucky Barnes?
Mmm. give it to Red Hood because I love Jason Todd. Even as Robin, I loved Jason Todd.
You have a special place in my heart now because Red Hood is my favorite DC character. Like, I love he's so flawed, and he's like perfectly flawed, and he just continues to try as hard as he can.
Absolutely.
Huntress or Clint Barton?
Which Huntress? Bertinelli or Wayne?
Oh, Bertinelli.
Bertinelli. Then Huntress.
I kind of see where this is going, but I'll ask anyway. Jessica Jones or Renee Montoya?
Renee Montoya.
Yeah,
I think Renee Montoya might have been my first comic book crush, so always. And her is the question. Just, I love it.
Jim Gordon or Maria Hill?
Oof.
See, I go Jim Gordon in this because Maria Hill does a lot of really sketchy things.
Yeah, she does. But at the same time, Gordon is not ineffective, but just doesn't have the best luck.
Yeah, that's also
true. I still gotta give it to Gordon because he genuinely tries. Like, he puts himself out there 100% of the time.
Yeah. I know where this one's going to, but I'll ask again. Actually, I know where the next two are going, but I'll ask. Tony Stark or Batgirl?
Okay, but which Batgirl? Stephanie, Barbara, or Cassandra?
Oh, Barbara. Don't get me wrong.
Batgirl.
Okay, I love me some Cassandra Cain, but...
I don't like Stephanie Brown.
I don't like
her at all.
Oh, that was the tweet. I couldn't remember the tweet where I was talking to my wife's niece about this, and she was like, who are you interviewing? I was talking to her, and I was like, I couldn't remember the tweet, and that's what it was. We both hated Stephanie Brown. That's what it was.
Yay, I'm not the only one.
She is.
I recognize that she's a very popular character, and I recognize that, but I'm still so mad that they took Batgirl away from Cassandra. And there was this experience that I had in a comic book shop when Stephanie was going to become Batgirl. And there was a huge controversy when Cassandra was Batgirl because, of course, she's a woman of color. And I remember these two guys talking about how excited they were that Stephanie was going to be Batgirl because Batgirl was going to go back to normal. And it made me so angry that I kind of got this rage that, no, they're pandering to these people. And, you know, Cassandra has, like, the perfect backstory. You know, she's raised to be this killer. You know, Lady Shiva is her mother. Like, you know, David Kane is her father. She can't, like, she never learned how to speak.
Yeah.
So there's so many complexities there that how do you look at this character and go, oh, boo. Like, god damn it.
So,
and I never liked Stephanie, even as Spoiler, or even as I actually feel bad for her as Robin, because she dies real fast.
So
I recognize that she's popular and a lot of people love her, but I've never let go of that rage.
My introduction to Spoiler and Batwoman were both in the Batman Detectives, Detective Comics
mm-hmm.
Issue. And Spoiler always annoyed me, and I don't know.
I will admit, it's a really shitty characterization of her. Like, her whole vigilantes are bad, blah. Like, the whole thing's her dad's a supervillain, and it's just, oh my god. Like, they took what I thought to be an already shitty character and made her shittier. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my god, how do you do this? How do you make me angrier?
And then I find out Orphan was Batgirl, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense to me. And again, like, and yeah. Oh my god, the relationship between her and Clayface was so great. I loved it, like, how much they helped each other. And when Clayface was having, like, this big, like, you know, I'm gonna, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going back to the monster, and she starts speaking to him in Shakespeare, and I'm like, this is so great!
And Batwoman snipes him.
Yeah. Okay. I get the Bat family doesn't kill, but come on, man.
She made the right... I mean, oh, yes. Okay. This is a move I'm passionate about. It is very reminiscent of when Wonder Woman killed Maxwell Lord, because she straight up snaps Maxwell Lord's neck. Are you familiar with this?
Yes. And he deserved it.
Okay.
Or when,
And I absolutely support that.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm trying to think of someone else.
You know, and I absolutely support that decision, because he's wrapped up in the lasso. If there was any other way to stop him, he would have said. And what was she supposed to do? Let Superman destroy half the world? Wonder Woman, why I love her so much, is that she will make those sacrifices. She was thrown out of the Justice League. She lost her ambassadorship. Themyscira was completely ostracized. I mean, Themyscira was partially destroyed by Brother Eye as a result of it. So she sacrificed everything to save everyone. And so I support that decision. And it's the same thing with Batwoman. Now, I think that there are publication issues with that. Is a character that hasn't been exposed to the mainstream Bat Family fans a lot, and to make that kind of risky choice while, you know, the baseline Bat fans are getting to know her, I think that was a bad decision. But there is no way that Cassandra couldn't have gotten away from Clayface in time. Clayface would have killed her. Batman had no contingency. Tim Drake had no consistency. Personally, I don't think there is any way Cassandra would have survived that situation. And Kate, knowing that Cassandra looked up to her, and, you know, we see that in a voiceover, that Cassandra really wants to ask Kate to teach her, because she thinks Kate is honorable.
Yeah.
And Kate was willing to sacrifice all of that to keep her safe.
But what do you mean? So, he's Batman. He has a contingency plan for everything. But you know what's funny
and Batwoman's killed before.
Yeah.
And that's been a huge point of contention between her and Batman for a long time. She's a soldier. Like, she doesn't like to, but she will when she has to.
Yeah. I dig it. It's funny, when she killed Clayface, I was shocked, but I was like, nah, I get it. Well, it's even when she quote unquote killed him. I got it. I completely understood exactly why she did it. And not even if for nothing else, just for the fact that someone that she loved was in direct threat of what was going on. I'm like, no, I get it. And I love the fact that she never apologized for it at all. As I'm watching this, I'm like, she better not apologize for this. Because if she would have apologized for it, I would have lost all respect for the writer, because she doesn't seem like the character to, like, go, well, I'm sorry, but. I'm like, no, I did what I had to do. But again, you're right. She's a soldier, so it made sense to me. That's a move a soldier would make. And it's funny, here's my love-hate relationship with Batman, because you'll know this better than me. How did he take Green Lantern killing Prometheus?
Not well at all.
Okay.
Not well.
So at least he's consistent.
It was Green Arrow.
Oh, Green Arrow. Green Arrow. At least he's consistent, because I didn't know about this, because my buddy was telling me Prometheus was, like, one of the most dangerous villains ever. And I'm like, well, what happened? And my buddy goes, oh, Green Arrow put an arrow right through his head. I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he's
Cry for Justice is a really shitty book, though.
Is a what?
I hate that book.
Oh.
Cry for Justice, I hate that book so much.
I have a love-hate relationship with a lot of older comic books, and I tried going back and reading a lot of old DC, and I'm like, unless someone recommends it to me, I'm just not going to bother.
I just thought killing Leanne Harper was wholly unnecessary. Like, she was a child.
I was going to say something, but considering, like, I'm a big X-Men fan and everything that happened after House of M. They shot a...
No, you can say it.
They shot a rocket into a fucking school bus. I remember reading that, because I was, again, this I was reading comic books every week, and I'm watching Tag say goodbye to Julian Keller, and it was like this really solemn moment, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm like, did they just kill a school bus full of kids? What the fuck just happened? Alright, so the last one, again, I know where this is going, but I'll ask anyway, Batwoman or Spider-Man?
I mean, Batwoman.
Yeah,
I do love Spider-Man. I do. I love Spider-Man, but Batwoman. Even just if I could just, like, take a picture with her.
So, Spider-Man may not be in my top 10 favorite characters of all time. My personal favorite, but I always feel that Spider-Man may be the greatest superhero of all time. Only because he does... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, only because he does so much with so little. It, like, he has a great power set, but, like, he has to balance his personal life and do everything that, like, Superman does without the Superman strength, speed, and power. Does everything Batman does without the money. And even when he had the money, we're all like, it's not going to last long, dude. And your fall is going to be horrible. People have left his life and, like, just shunned him. And it's like, he does so much with so little, and I really appreciate everything that Spider-Man does. But again, it really all depends on the writer. Like, Straczynski, for the shitbag that he is, was my biggest intro to Spider-Man, and I really appreciated him from there.
Unfortunately for me, I really liked Spider-Man a lot as a kid. And I was a big Spider-Man fan. I remember when that first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie came out, I was practically vibrating. I was so excited because holy shit, fucking Spider-Man. And I walked away during One More Day. And I was kind of like, I don't get this. Like, this is horrific. Like, I love Aunt May too, but you're going to sacrifice everything for her. Like, you know, Mary Jane is the love of your life, and you're going to let go of all of that. And it's just, it's when I put Spider-Man down. And I put Spider-Man down for a long time. So much so that I missed all of Ultimate Spider-Man.
So.
Because I'm like, oh, there's a new Spider-Man. That's cool, but I'm still mad at Straczynski. And by the time I did pick up Spider-Man again, I had missed so much that I'm like, this is just not worth it anymore. And I put it back on the shelf. And so, yeah, I don't read Spider-Man anymore.
Couple things. One, I did the same thing. Like, I jumped off ship. I'm like, wow, you got rid of almost 80 years of continuity for this really shitty thing, and I'm out. So I was done with Spider-Man for a while. I picked it back up during the Dan Slott Superior Spider-Man run. I stayed with Miles Morales, with Ultimate Spider-Man and Miles Morales. I love me some Miles Morales. But, like, that One More Day thing was one of the worst interpretations of a story ever. And then the end to One More Day. I literally looked at the book and went, fuck you. I said it out loud. I said, fuck you. And I was done. Because the Straczynski run was so great until that one moment. And
it's right there. Ugh.
But the new series so far has been good. I'm slowly catching up little by little. It's been good, but every so often I'm just like, eh. Like, this is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
And then, like, all the changes, it's like, you got rid of continuity. Like, that's the biggest thing for comic book characters, comic book fans, and you just erased it.
And I think, you know, Marvel retcons are some of the most frustrating retcons out there, because at least when DC does a retcon, they usually have the good graces to just, like, reset their entire universe. So I, to an extent, can, quote, appreciate that. But Marvel retcons are so confusing, because they do these weird mini-events that reset some of it, but not all of it. Like, okay, well, Spider-Man is affected, but not this and not that, okay? Or we're gonna write something about Kitty Pryde, but not the, you know, not the rest of the X-Men. Like, at least fucking relaunch. Like, or not relaunch, but reboot. Marvel relaunches all the time because they want that number one money.
Let me tell you. But
I think if any company needs a hard reboot, it's probably Marvel.
Kitty Pryde is my favorite woman X-Man. She's in my top... Actually, she may be my second favorite X-Man behind Wolverine. And she... I will go on record by saying this, and I'm willing to die on this hill. I don't think anyone has had a better progression to stardom from start to finish, start to now, than Kitty Pryde has. Like, she has grown right before our eyes.
She is probably one of the best developed characters from, like you said, from start to finish. She's probably one of the best developed characters in the comics.
Yeah, and like everything she did in Astonishing. And can I also just say that, fuck Joss Whedon in general, but what he did for Kitty Pryde in that was like, he wrote an X-Men book that had Wolverine, but didn't star Wolverine. It didn't star Cyclops. Yeah. It didn't star Beast. It was literally the Kitty Pryde story, but everybody had a great moment. I'm like, and that's how you write an X-Men book. And like watching Kitty Pryde phase that bullet was one of the most heroic things anybody has ever done. Like, and not only did she phase that bullet through Earth, she continued to phase it throughout the fucking universe. Like, there were beings praising her as a god and didn't know what she looked like. I'm like, that's how you do it. And then, Marauders number one, when Emma Frost said, I'm making you the leader because you're not known for kicking someone while they're down. And then, she kicks a motherfucker in the face while they're down. I'm like, boom. Fuck you. That's how you write fucking Kitty Pryde. I love it. I love Kitty Pryde, and I hope that her progression continues because I think she has the potential to become one of the two or three most important X-Men that we've seen in the last 20 years. I wrote an article.
Absolutely.
I wrote an article last year about the most important X-Men in comic books of the last decade, and Kitty Pryde was number one. I was like, Cyclops and Wolverine, I made number two. I'm like, they're interchangeable. Cyclops has his own importance, as is Wolverine, and I don't think either one's more important than the other one. But there was nobody more important to the X-Men than Kitty Pryde was the last decade.
And I think I actually got to meet Chris Claremont at C2E2 earlier this year.
Nice.
And C2E2 feels like it was 87 years ago. And because it was late February, early March, and you know, finding out that the administration knew way more about the virus than we thought they did, it's horrifying in retrospect that I was in an event with several tens of thousands of people.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to meet Chris Claremont. He signed a bunch of My New Mutants and Karma stuff. And Karma and Kitty were in a mini-series together. It's called Mechanics. It's very early post 9/11 commentary, Claremont, so it's about as good as you think it is.
Oh god, don't get me started on his run of X-Men The End.
Mm-hmm.
With the family tree. I'm like, oh my god, this ruined everything you've ever done.
But you know, Chris Claremont has long stated the fact that Kitty Pryde is bisexual. And, you know, fans have seen this since the beginning. And, you know, he talked about, you know, Kitty and Rachel. And he used Karma in that storyline to kind of, you know, hold up a giant neon sign of, hey, she's having semi-flirty moments with this other lady character. But that's all beside the point. But we got to talking about Kitty and just the way his eyes lit up as he's talking about her. You know, you can tell he loves this character so much. And we got this long, rambling story about Kitty and Wolverine being besties that didn't really make sense at the time, but it was just magical to listen to anyway.
Oh my God.
Just seeing that enthusiasm that this, you know, much older man, you know, obviously, you know, he's probably in his 70s, I think, still has for this character that he started working on some 40 years ago. And to see the way she has evolved from there, it's just so astonishing.
I see what you did there.
Uh-huh.
Can I just tell you the Wolverine Kitty Pryde relationship and the way it's grown is one of my favorite things ever. Two moments. The most recent one where Kitty couldn't get into Krakoa and Logan was running at her. He goes, Did you get it?
She just throws the alcohol at
him. Yes. It was big brother, little sister. And then there was a moment in Astonishing where they're walking out of the danger room, and Kitty goes, are you going to fight everybody on the team? I just want to know if I should be ready. And Logan goes, nah, you go all ninja on me. I can't take that kind of hurt. And I love the fact that the way they interact is exactly how you'd want it. He's not this old creepy uncle. He's not this he's not overprotective of her. He was at one point, But then once he realized that she mm-hmm. could take care of herself, he was like, okay, you know what I mean? I'll still be protective, but I'm not going to run down on you like I would if somebody was fucking with Jubilee.
I mean, I think we all love, you know, savage, feral Wolverine to an extent, but grumpy surrogate dad Wolverine is my favorite.
Oh, absolutely. Like, one of my best friends said the best thing Marvel did for Wolverine was have him open that school.
Yes.
It made so much sense, and just watching him, and the interaction with him and Quentin Quire was just, it was like, it makes sense. And him just being this grumpy old, like, headmaster, dedicating it to Jean Grey, the relationship. Oh, and furthermore, Wolverine and Storm makes more sense than Storm and T'Challa.
Thank you! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh my god. I'm sorry. I love Storm and Wolverine.
It makes so much more sense. Seemingly
a very unpopular opinion.
That's another conversation for another show. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. I want to thank Mary for coming on the show. I'm gonna split this into two episodes. Mary, tell everyone.
No, I'm sorry.
No. Trust me. This is my first day off. The only reason I'm getting off of this is because, one, I'm pretty sure your wife wants to spend time with you, and my wife wants to spend time with me. Before I go, tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Sapphic. It's just a lot of grumpy yelling about various things. I use all caps a lot. I write for oncomicsground.com, on-comics-grounds.com. I'm sorry, I'm dyslexic, so words and I have problems. I co-host another podcast called Panel to Panel. It's me and my friends James and Travis, and we just end up yelling at each other a lot about comic books. It's a lot of fun. We usually, you know, have some alcohol and just get liquored up and talk about comic books. We're actually recording another episode later tonight. And we're going to talk about, I think, Future State. So we upload those episodes on Monday. I think Twitter's really the only social media I have, actually.
I was going to say, and you know, the one thing we didn't talk about was the fact that nobody asked for a Joker ongoing series. But
nobody wants it. Nobody.
I'll take a miniseries.
Those are my feelings.
I'll take a miniseries about it because I know he has issues with Bane, but no one asked for a Joker ongoing series, and to quote my best friend, nobody asked for a Joker movie either. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at oldmanwadecom. Just like Mary, I bitch and complain about all sorts of randomness, about my job, which I'll never say where I work, comic books, random nonsense. I make jokes, I make memes. My most recent one is one of the Mandalorian. And he's just kind of standing there in the Mandalorian, and like, you know, with his mask on, and it just says, Stairs a Mandalorian. You can find us on Facebook, The Old Man Wade Show. We mostly just post comic book stuff, but we're also really goofy. We post some memes, and every so often we do get serious. I think that's all I got.
Damn it, Wade!